The message is called Created in God's Image. Created in God's Image. The passage is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You know, the plague of COVID-19 has sickened this country for about 4 months. Yeah. But the plague of racism has been with us throughout human history. You know, almost 400,000 people have died around the world from COVID-19. But countless, millions and millions have been destroyed by oppression, injustice, and racism. We as a nation and as a church, we grieve the tragic and unjust death of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and too many others. We as a nation and as a church grieve a broken history, a broken structures, system, and norms that deny Black people their rights. You know, when we see injustice, when we hear about injustice, the church needs to grieve. But God asked the church to do more, go further. The Bible says, godly sorrow, godly grieving brings repentance in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Our grief is not just to feel bad and be upset. Our grief is not virtue signaling. Our grief as a church needs to bring repentance, meaning it needs to bring change. You know, my first missions trip was to Kenya a long time ago. The church that I served in Africa had about 400 people from many different tribes. And I fell in love with the people there. You know, I was there, it was there that my heart was lit for missions. And it was there that I got the vision to come back to America and start a church focused on missions. So in 1995, I came back to New Jersey to start a church near Rutgers University. You know, I talked to other church leaders to see if they can help me, you know, but not one leader responded to me. But one night, I had a dream, and it was a very clear dream. Like I never had that kind of dream before. It was a clear dream with a clear picture of this small church. And when I woke up in the morning, I drove around, because I felt like God wanted me to find that church. I drove around looking for that church. And I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me, and I found it. I found it. So that very Sunday, I went to that church. And it was a Black church. And what happened was that very morning, the senior pastor, Pastor Robinson, his wife, Mother Robinson, was praying. That very morning that I came to church, was praying that God would open up the church to other ethnic group. And I walked in, That church, Somerset Baptist Church, opened their door and their heart to me. They were the one that helped me start a church called Harvest near Rutgers. And it was in that church that I was ordained. Pastor Robinson became my mentor, and he treated me like a son, and I became a part of his family. Pastor Robinson passed away 11 years ago, and the family and his family gave me the honor to preach at his funeral. Pastor Robinson faced racism his whole life. You know, I traveled with him to different places, and I witnessed it. I witnessed it. But not once he showed anger or resentment or bitterness. You know, racism destroyed one of his son. Yeah, because of racism, one of his son, growing up in America, he developed tremendous resentment and he grew angry day after day after day. So one day, Pastor Robinson's son, he hijacked a bus in New York City. And during the standoff with the police, he killed two innocent people on the bus. He was prosecuted and imprisoned. And Pastor Robinson would often go visit his son in prison in upstate New York. And Pastor Robinson would show him love and pleaded with him every time he visited him to receive God's love, his forgiveness, and to forgive those who hurt him. You know, just one example, one instance when I was traveling with Pastor Robinson, I think we were going to South Jersey. We decided to stop at one of the restaurants. And here's this, we're just waiting. And this hostess was very rude to us. Was just very rude. Made us wait, you know. This hostess would seat other customer who came after us. And I got angry. I was really angry. I was hurt. I wanted to scream. You know, back then, if they invented the smartphone, I would have videotaped the incidents. You know, if they invented the smartphone, I wanted to leave. I really wanted to leave. But Pastor Robinson was just stood there, and he saw me getting so agitated. And this is what he said to me. It was something like this. This is what he said to me. I'm here to spend time with you, Sam. And someone else's ignorance is not going to ruin my time with you, Sam. You know, growing up in Chicago, I faced racism, you know. I was called a different name, you know, even by strangers. People making faces at me, squinting and stretching their eyes taunting me, strangers and people that I knew going, you know, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong. People who made me feel that something was wrong with me. People who made me feel inadequate, somehow that I was less, that I don't belong, that I don't matter. But the amazing irony is this. It was a Black pastor who made me feel I mattered. You know, every time I saw Pastor Robinson, his face would light up. He would just light up. And when I preached, he was my biggest cheerleader. There was one Good Friday service, and in a Black church, what they do is, they get seven other churches together on Good Friday. And each pastor preaches a sermon on one of the seven words of Jesus on the cross. That service was like 4 hours long. It was like seven mess sermons from seven different pastors on one of the last words of Jesus on the cross. This Good Friday service, Pastor Robinson asked me to take his place. When the other preachers saw me, I could hear their thoughts, you know, and the thought, I could hear it. I could see it in their face. And it was this, Asians can't preach. That's what I heard. Asians can't preach. But Pastor Robinson was telling them, you know, this is my son. You know, this is my son. My son can preach. You know, I went up and I preached my heart out. I preached my heart out. And I should be more modest, but that night I was good. I was really good. And I could hear while I was preaching Pastor Robinson's encouragement going, amen. Oh, well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Preach it, son. Come on, preach it, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. That's it. That's it. That's right. That's right. Bring it on home now. Bring it on home, Sam. You know, Pastor Robinson and I, in our relationship, overcame racism. Not because of identity politics, but because of biblical identity. We didn't see each other as black or yellow. We were colorblind when it came to each other. We saw each other as God saw us. You know, I do pray during this crisis. I pray for the president. I pray for the Senate, the House, the Supreme Court. And just being honest, I am very disappointed. You know, in such a time as this, the nation needs a calm voice. The government leaders, you know, don't have to agree on everything, but they need to work together. You know, this nation needs leaders who believe in the authority of Scripture. You know, last week, you know, I thought it was I'm being honest, disingenuous of the president to use the Bible as a photo op. In such a time as this, as the nation is facing unprecedented storms, the Bible says the house needs to be on the foundation of the Word of God. There's torrential rain comes, flood water rises, winds beat against the house. And the Bible says when the house is on the rock of the Word of God, God's Word, the house will remain standing. Pastor Robinson didn't see me as yellow, and I didn't see him as black. But we saw each other as God saw us. As it is in the Word of God, we are God's creation. All human beings, whether male or female, black, white, yellow or brown, young or old, are made in the image of God. Therefore, all human beings possess equal value and dignity. Church, I encourage, yes, activism, you know, protests. You know, we only see pictures sometimes of looting and burning down buildings. And it affected one of our church members' family in Philadelphia. Yeah, let's continue to pray for Dan and Christina. Christina's their parent, whose business was burned down in Philadelphia. I encourage protests. We need education, and awareness is good. But if it is activism because you feel pressure, there will be no change. If activism because of fear that you will be called a racist, that you will be labeled, there will be no change. If activism because of white guilt, there will be no change. If activism because of virtue signaling, there will be no change. If activism because you want to loot because you need a new shoes, you're doing more harm than good. But deep down in your heart, that house needs to be on the foundation of the Word of God. Deep down in your heart, you see every human being is valuable, created in the image of God. Every human being is loved by God. that truth is in your heart, we could change the world together. Amen.